With summer in the rearview mirror and signs pointing straight ahead for holiday season, booksellers large and small are getting a preliminary read on the state of the industry 2013. Welcome to Copyright Clearance Center's podcast series. I'm Christopher Keneally for Beyond the Book. Last month, Barnes & Noble reported a considerable first quarter loss. But for independent booksellers, 2013 is proving to be a year of extremes. With more, we welcome back to the program Andrew Albanese, Publishers Weekly senior writer, who joins us each week on Friday. Andrew, welcome back to the program.
Greetings, Chris.
Well, we had something of a heat wave in New York and actually up here in Boston as well this week. But as I mentioned at the start, the calendar shows that summer is closing on us and summer bookseller season has closed as well, but on an upbeat note for some.
Yeah, that's right. And in Monday's issue, we're taking a spin around the indie booksellers to get a sense of, you know, how was your summer? Well, not too bad, it turns out, for many of them. Some booksellers we spoke to reported kind of a roller coaster pattern of sales with one month up and another down. But others had really great news. For example, Val Static, the owner of Main Street Books in Minot, North Dakota. Now, budget woes are kind of the state of the existence for many states and many markets. But in North Dakota, you may know, an oil boom is actually fueling the economy, and that actually helped Static's 7-year-old bookstore bounce back from a flood a couple of years ago. Her sales were up 10%, as much as 20% in some months, and she anticipates that this summer is going to be one of the best ever. In fact, this year is going to be one of the best ever for her store. More typical is the results we got from Walkdown Booksellers in Montclair, New Jersey, where, you know, the summer always tends to be slower, but this year summer sales were up over 2012. Although she notes that last year selling books for her was largely a matter of putting out three stacks of titles like 50 Shades of Grey, The Hunger Games, and Gone Girl. This year, the store owners all say there was a marked return to hand selling and a variety of titles that did pretty well. In Seattle, Michael Coy, manager of Third Place Books, said that sales were up 5% over last summer. The bookseller in Chicago, similar bump there. You know, but it's not all good news. Susan Novotny, who owns Market Block Books in Troy, New York, and The Bookhouse in Stuyvesant Plaza in Albany, New York, said that she and the other veteran booksellers that she's spoken to have been down so far this year and down this summer. Now, in Albany, it's a mix of things. You know, it's an unhappy combination of a weak economy. There was an office building next door where 700 people were let go. But also, you know, the feeling that people are reading a little less and the relentless hammering from online retailers, Novotny says. We're sorry to hear that, of course. But there's plenty more in the article and lots of perspectives. And you can check that out in Monday's issue of PW.
Well, it's a fascinating little story and an interesting glimpse of the independence bookselling business, and I'm glad to see you worked in 50 Shades of Grey. We haven't heard much about that this year, and in fact, without a 50 Shades or a Hunger's Game, have there been any titles that have been picking up the slack in those stores?
Yeah, you know, you would think that without those blockbusters this year that, you know, we'd be down. In fact, we're up. And yeah, there are some winners, and there's a couple of them were called out in the piece. You know, nothing like the 50 Shades of Grey, but Neil Gaiman, who has toured for his latest book, The Ocean at the End of the Lane, is doing a great business. There's J.K. Rowling, also known as Robert Galbraith, who's had a hit with Cuckoo's Calling. And for many stores, Khaled Hosseini's And the Mountains Echoed has had a strong summer as well.
So indeed, yeah, there is some good news there for indies. Welcome it is, of course. And we turn now to Barnes & Noble, the remaining chain store. And there's a mixed bag of information from there. And you learned a lot more this week from Len Riccio himself.
Yeah, Barnes & Noble had a shareholders meeting this week in New York, and, you know, it's been sort of a rocky ride for Barnes & Noble. But in his first public appearance since, you know, he declined to purchase the Barnes & Noble retail stores, you remember us talking about that a few weeks back, the B&N chair and founder, Len Riccio, said he was confident in the store's future, but he also got a little testy with the institutional shareholders who pressured him repeatedly over the future of the cash-bleeding Nook Media division. Now, as you mentioned, BNN reported a consolidated $87 million first-quarter loss just in August. And both CNN Alan Lindstrom and, BNN CFO Alan Lindstrom and BNN Nook Media CEO Michael Huseby sort of went over BNN and specifically Nux Media's quarterly losses. And once again, they blamed it all on overly optimistic projections of Nook holiday sales. And they emphasized that, you know, BNN had to just grow its content sales, you know, had to get back to basics, you know, and it had to better integrate the retail stores into its Nook digital strategy. Now, that's not going to be an easy thing to do, but, you know, it may be as simple as that for the company. Now, what does this all mean for the Nook division? You know, who knows? One institutional shareholder who spoke at the meeting described himself as a happy customer but an unhappy shareholder. And he asked Riggio and the BNN board why they didn't sell off the Nook Media, especially as so many industry observers had expected them to do so. Riggio's response, well, everything is on the table. So we'll be keeping an eye on that.
Indeed. Well, everything is almost always on the table, certainly at a business like Barnes & Noble these days. We'll keep an eye on them. And now that the big fall season is upon us, we're looking for an update from Apple this week on the ebook price fixing case. There isn't one. That's good news. But there is some news about ebook prices.
Yeah, you know, in Monday's news, we have a really interesting piece on a new development. You know, we talked about bookstores and we've talked about e-tailers, but you know, you've got the warehouse clubs and the mass merchandisers and the big box retailers, and they remain important sources for book sales and as places where books are discovered. You know, but if publishers want those bricks and mortar outlets to continue to carry some of their titles, they're going to need to make some changes. At least that was the message from Dennis Abood, who acquired Levy Home Entertainment in the fall of 2011 and renamed it ReaderLink, and who's now positioning the company to move ahead. Specifically, Abood said that he was concerned that ReaderLink's customers, which include retail giants like Walmart, Target, and Costco, are going to start decreasing the space they allot to books if ebook prices don't come up. In a speech, he said that publishers need to rethink their ebook price strategy to address the price disparity between ebooks and print books. Now, well aware of a certain court case, Abood stressed that he isn't asking publishers to do anything illegal. You know, of course not. They would never. But, you know, to raise their prices on ebooks to allow Walmart and others to offer the public competitively priced print books. Now, there's a lot to chew on in this story. But, you know, but obviously the publishers do feel the need to raise ebook prices, hence that whole agency model thing you may have heard about. But Chris, I don't know. The idea of the big five conglomerates being pinched between Walmart and Amazon, it's quite a statement on the state of the business, wouldn't you say?
I would. I would almost say, wow. And to think and to think that they could turn to their customers at that particular moment and say, we need more from you. I am not so sure that's going to happen.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how the publishers take that and really what he means by that. So more to come in weeks to follow.
Well, thank you for that. Andrew Albanese, senior writer at Publishers Weekly. We always appreciate having you join us here in Beyond the Book.
And my pleasure as always.
Beyond the Book is produced by Copyright Clearance Center, a global rights broker for the world's most sought-after materials, including millions of books and ebooks, journals, newspapers, magazines, and blogs, as well as images, movies, and television shows. You can follow us on Twitter, find Beyond the Book on Facebook, and subscribe to the free podcast series on iTunes or at the Copyright Clearance Center website, copyright.com. Just click on Beyond the Book. Our engineer this week is Rob Simon of Burst Marketing. My name is Christopher Keneally. For all of us at Copyright Clearance Center, thanks for listening to Beyond the Book.